Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh no, that was a little, yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand to our feet? Does anybody just want more of the presence of the Lord? The Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I don't know about anybody else, but I desire a little bit more freedom. I desire a little bit more peace. And all of that can be found in the presence of our King. Does anybody believe that this morning? Come on, do you really believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be, yeah. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love. No place, no.
No place I'd rather be. of your power, Lord. More of your power. We need more. We need more. We need more.
I need more.
I need
our hands to a king. Father, this morning we just stand in need. We need nothing more than your presence, nothing more than your spirit. We need more. And church, whatever it is that you stand in need of, whatever your situation is, leaning and cleaving to the Spirit of the Lord for, I am here to encourage you that the need is in the room because His Spirit is here. So where His Spirit is, the need can be met. So in this moment, whatever your worship looks like, whatever it sounds like, can we lift it up to Jesus? God, you're worthy. We honor you. We love you.
Fill us up, Jesus, 'cause we need more. Set a fire down in our souls that we can't contain. We don't want to control it. Set a fire down in our souls that we can't contain. We don't want to control you, Lord. You can have your way here. Set a fire down in our souls that we can't contain, that we can't control. Set a fire.
More of you, God. I want more of you.
Yeah.
I want more of you.
Yeah.
I want more of you.
Yeah.
Today.
touch. Can we sing that out? Sing, I want more.
I want more. I want more. I want more.
What I have will satisfy me. So won't you
pour it out?
Sing, I want more. Won't you sing, I want more? 'Cause what I have isn't enough. So won't you pour it out one more time? I want more. So won't you pour it out?
As we sing this next song, can we just invite the Holy Spirit into this room this morning?
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. You're
good.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Comfort this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
the Holy Spirit saying that some of us have lost our awareness. And what are you talking about, Corey? What do you mean we've lost our awareness? When a child sees their parent in a room, they don't fear what's going on, even if their parent isn't looking directly at them. They still play, they still maneuver, they still move around, they still enjoy themselves because they know there's an awareness of there's a safety because their parent is in the room. I know if anything happens, my mom is here. I know if anything happens, my dad is here. And so some of us have forgotten that the Lord is in the storm with you. Some of us have felt abandoned. Some of us feel like we're doing this by ourselves. I'm here to remind you that you are not alone in this. The God who still looks high, sits high and looks low is the same God that gets in the storm with you. He's the same God that rides the waves with you. Those tears you cry, he cries with you. That pain you feel, he felt that on a cross over 2,000 years ago for this very moment. So I don't know who this is, but if you feel like you've lost your awareness and you need just a gentle reminder that the same God who sees you before is the same God that sees you now, can we lift up our hands and can we worship a God who still sees us? To let him know that we are still aware that he is with us, that we are still aware that he has not forgotten us, that we are still aware that he is still Lord of lords and King of kings, and that he has us, and that nothing that we go through, nothing that you go through catches him by surprise. Nothing you face, nothing you feel, none of it catches the Lord by surprise. And if the same God looks over birds in the sky and flowers in the field, you can guarantee that he's going to take just good care of you. And so, Father, this morning, we lift up our awareness. We pray that we are reminded that your Spirit is always with us because you promised it. You promised you'd be with us even until the end. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us. And, Lord, I speak to those hearts that feel alone. I speak to those hearts that feel forgotten about, that feel abandoned, that feel heavy. And I remind them of your truth, that if we cast our cares upon you, that you care about us. So we cast them on you. We exchange our yoke for yours, oh God. For your burden is easy and light, so we ask for it now, God. We give you the heaviness of our hearts, whether it be heartache, whether it be grief, whether it be anxiety, whether it be depression, whatever the heart issue is, God, we surrender it to you, knowing that with you it is in perfect hands. And so this morning, God, we just ask you for more awareness of your presence as you move through our worship service this morning. Help us to experience the glory that is your goodness. Church, can we just sing that chorus out together one more time? Sing, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Church, if you believe that, can we praise our God? Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. His presence is here, so I might as well take advantage of it, right? His presence is here, so I might as well get what I need. His presence is here. I'm aware now. His presence is here. Yeah. I have some awareness about me now. His presence is here. His glory is here, so I might as well take advantage of it, right? I might as well get my peace while it's here. I might as well get my freedom while it's here.
Presence of Jesus, we want to feel your glory, God. Let us experience your glory. Let us experience your glory. Let us experience your glory. Let us experience your glory, Jesus. Your glory alone is where we find our joy. Your glory alone is where we find our peace. Your glory alone. You rest on us. You rest upon us. Let your glory rest upon us.
Yeah.
Your glory rest on us, Jesus. Your glory, your glory. It's your glory, your glory. Your glory.
presence of God is truly in this place. And I think sometimes we get a little uncomfortable because we really don't know how to respond, right? We don't really know what the Lord expects of us. Some of us, we're not used to raising our hands. We're not used to shouting. We're not used to these things, right? But can I tell you that whatever it is that you have to offer, the Lord still honors it. And the beautiful thing about how this relationship is built is that the more your intimacy is built, you become less and less afraid because he becomes less and less of a stranger. He becomes more of a friend. He becomes more of a father. Because that's what he desires, church. He desires relationship with you. Yeah, the broken you. The fragile you, the you don't talk about, the you try to hide behind the bright smile, that you, that's the you he loves. That's the you that he said he's very well pleased with. That you. That you. If you believe that this morning, can we clap our hands? Can we just give God praise for choosing to rest on us this morning? You guys can take your seats and get comfortable. Amen, amen. There's just something so peaceful about the presence of God. The way he just sweeps through. And the way he just settles your spirit and calms your spirit. And I think sometimes we confuse that with, oh, this is just emotion. This is just a feeling. No, this is an encounter. And this is what he desires with us for the rest of our lives. Yeah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We bless God for interceding. Thank you, Pastor Adams, for interceding. The Lord is here, guys. The Lord is here, and I'm just grateful, honored that he chose us, that he continues to choose us, and that he continues to build us. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. If you're not already having a good morning, I hope that has shifted. If not, it's you. It's definitely you. So listen, if we have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Corey. My friends call me Corey, so yeah, you can call me Corey too. I have the distinct privilege of being the youth pastor here, and on behalf of, thank you. Thanks. You see, let me just tell y'all, the kids, they sit up here every Sunday, and every time, whenever I have to say that, they just look at me like, oh, okay. Like, they're not going to see me this evening. Like, they're not going to have to see me later. You know what I'm saying? This is not about me. But on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Wallace and Joy Phillips, we thank you guys for visiting us this morning at Carpenter Shop International Church. For those of you watching at home, thank you guys for tuning in. For those of you watching all over the world, thank you for tuning in. Listen, we believe that this is not by a coincidence or an accident that you're here. The Lord has something very special just for you. He has a word just for you, just for your life. And even if you don't feel like it applies to you, guess what? The Word of God applies to us all the time. The Word of God always is teaching us and molding us and growing us to be more like Christ. Amen? All right, saints. So y'all want the good news or the greater news? I'll let you pick. So the great news is I didn't need my phone this morning. Thank you, Mara, because they don't understand. Like, my memory really be bad. It's by God's grace. I remember their names. But the good news is that was kind of the only. Sorry, in my head, it was two things, but I guess to me it's a big deal. So it's like, I don't need my phone because I'll be using my phone for, like, life. So the only announcement we have this morning, actually, no, there is one more, but I'll get to that. This week, this Wednesday, we'll have Bible study with Pastor Adams. Make some noise. Oh, wow. Y'all know he's in the room. He can see you. I'm going to point out who didn't clap so he can find you. But yes, this Wednesday, it's going to be running for 12 weeks. He's going to be talking about the pathway to ministry. We're going to be meeting here this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's going to be back in the fellowship hall where we usually have Bible study. We would love to see you guys. Amen. The other announcement I had was the youth have their youth convention coming up in November. The total cost of that is $160. The deposit is due, I want to say this week, but I told y'all the way my memory works, I'm going to get back to you. But if you have any questions about wanting to send your students, we work with the middle and high school students. So if you want to send your students, just come find the bald guy who talks a lot with the big pants, because I don't want y'all to see how fat I actually am. And yeah, we'll get you situated. All right, cool. Cool, great. All right, so the next thing is a part of our worship experience that we all can participate in. It's worshiping our God through our giving. Thank you, Pastor Wallace. Amen. Because the saints do not like talking about their money. but listen, here's the thing with giving. We don't just give because it's a church thing. We don't just give because it's something we grew up doing. It's something we do as, it's a form of worship. It really is a way that we worship the Lord. We sing songs, we pray, we speak, but that worship is still worship. Amen. So there are some buckets here at the front of the platform. There's also some ways to give on the screen. I'm going to pray really fast. The team's going to sing, and then you can bring your offerings, okay? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ability to give, the desire to give. Father, I ask that you bless every seed that is sown, whether it be physically or in heart. God, I thank you that you're going to return the investment, not because you have to, but just because you love us and you care for us. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You can bring your gifts.
Last week, church, we sang about trusting in God. I hope you guys did that this week. And I hope in doing that, I hope you guys got to see what God can do for you in your lives. And this week, we're going to sing about the power that he gives you when you let him. We're going to talk about speaking to these mountains.
Yeah. Why would I worry? Giants come calling my name. My God is so much bigger than troubles I or fame. God is so much bigger than all of these things. Let's hear y'all. I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak. The victory's already won. He died for my ransom, rose up on the third day. So my God is greater than death. Too low, there's no fear that I have. He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have. He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God. Y'all want to sing that one more time? There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have. He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come on, y'all. Come on, let's worship God. Come on, stand up on your feet this morning and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. How many of you know He's bigger than any problem you'll ever face? Come on. Hallelujah. on, sing it again.
I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountain. Oh, it's time to move. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him. Big God. Big God. Big God. Father, we commit ourselves to you today afresh and anew. Father, we speak to the mountains in our lives today, God, and we say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Lord, we trust you. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord that is a strong tower. The Bible says the righteous run to him and they are safe. And so, God, we thank you for your promises that are yes and amen to those who believe. Minister to us today. Thank you for an online audience, God, all over the world that is watching today, Lord. May you speak to their hearts as well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, smile at your neighbor. Come on, real big. Smile at your neighbor. Say, you looking cute today. Come on, tell them. You looking cute today. Hallelujah. Man, I feel better than I did last week. Come on, somebody. What a week will do for you, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, worship team. You guys appreciate these guys? Come on, y'all. Come on. If you're going to have a worship team, you might as well have the best. Come on, y'all. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. From slavery to freedom. From slavery to freedom. I told you for the next several weeks, I'm going to speak to you on my experiences from the nation of Pakistan. And I've been studying and learning even more since I got back home. I'm working and trying to say, okay, God, what is it you want to say? Today, slavery to freedom. Slavery is not a new problem. It's not. It's existed in multiple forms for centuries, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And today, you and I are going to look back at some historical examples of slavery from the Bible, from American history, even a couple of modern day examples of slavery that's taking place in the world today. We're going to see that God, come on y'all, has always had a path for freedom. Come on. How many of you know that he gave you a path to freedom on the cross of Calvary? Come on. You were enslaved to yourself. Amen. You were enslaved to yourself, and God sets you free through what happened on the cross of Jesus. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. How many of y'all glad to be Christians this morning? Amen. From slavery to freedom. I had to ask myself a few questions, actually, when I started writing this message out, and I heard the Lord just kind of giving me that download that happens for pastors. I was just sitting in my chair, man. There's an anointing on my chair, y'all. Come on. Amen. I'm sitting in that chair, and the Lord's just giving it to me. And I said, God, you know, I got some questions I need to ask myself. And the first one was, what is a slave? You talk about slavery. You talk about being enslaved. What is a slave? I looked at it really simply. What's a slave? A slave is defined as a person who's forced. Somebody say forced. Forced to work, forced to obey someone else, and even is considered to be their property. Come on, let that sink in for just a second. A person who's forced to work, forced to obey, forced to do everything because you are considered to be the property of the one who owns you. How sad. How sad. Then the second question I had was, is there modern day slavery? Somebody said, yeah, you all live in my mama's house. No, 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 I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about what she makes you do. You ought to do what you do. You ought to clean your room. You ought to mow the grass. You ought to take the trash out. You have. If you don't, you're trifling. I'm just telling you, you're trifling. You ought to willing. She ought not even have to ask you. I'm going to get your daddy. Oh, it's going to another level now. No, no, no. You ought to be thankful. Listen, I could take you some places. I've been around y'all. I could take you to some places where people, you know what? It makes me very angry every time I go out of the country and come back. It makes me angry at the American church. It makes me angry at America sometimes because I see the less fortunate. I see the less fortunate. I saw some things in the past couple of weeks when I was there that I just erased that from my mind. You know, I don't even want to think about that. Is there modern-day slavery? The answer is yes. 49.6 million people today are slaves. 12.5 million of them are children, kids who are slaves. And then the third question I ask myself of is this: where are the majority of modern slaves in the world today? The majority of modern slaves today are primarily in three large countries. India is one of them. India is the seventh largest landmass in the world. I've been there. I really don't care to go back. India will eat your lunch, man. My wife and I spent 3 weeks over there in the 90s. And India will eat your lunch. As soon as you get off the airplane, remember, Pastor Joy, when we landed in Mumbai? As soon as you get off the airplane, and, you know, when I got to the airport, they opened my luggage and took out of my luggage what they wanted. You ever had that happen, Pastor Mike? People took out of their luggage. I had luggage. I had copper top batteries, Duracells. This was a long time ago. Because the missionaries told us, man, we need batteries, okay? It's a different day now. They don't need batteries anymore. But we loaded up with batteries. And when those guys in the airport saw those batteries, they went and got some bags. And Pastor Joy and I watched them take those batteries out of our luggage. And there was nothing we could do about it. Nothing. I fussed. I yelled. I did everything. Yeah. We want them. Okay? So they took the stuff out of my batteries. Batteries out of my luggage. You know, when you leave the airport in Mumbai, as soon as you leave the airport door and you step out and you're welcome to India, is naked people squatting and using the bathroom all over the sidewalks, all over the floors, no clothes. And I'm sitting there in the car riding down the street. Now, I had a 21-hour flight, and this is what I get, okay? This is what I'm seeing. And we just looked on the side of the roads back and forth, left to right, and saw nakedness and famine and peril outside of the Mumbai airport. And it's culture shock. It's culture shock. I've had the privilege of going to over 30 countries in my life. I haven't seen much worse than India. Pakistan was close because they used to be one country anyway, right? Okay. Pakistan was very much like India. The only difference was in India, the primary god is what? Hindu gods. Gods, millions and millions of gods. But in Pakistan, it's largely a Muslim nation, 2% Christian. And so it's a very dangerous country to be in. Pastor, I just told you last week, God broke my heart for Pakistan. You going back? Yes. I plan to go back one day. I don't know when. But I plan to go back because God opened up an arena for me that I feel like it's important that I be involved in. And I'm going to share part of that with you today. Where is the majority of modern slaves in the world today? India, seventh largest landmass in the world. China and Pakistan. Three countries that probably have the majority of modern day slaves in the world. I want to look at several categories today. The first one is slavery in the Bible. God told Abraham. God gave him a heads up. God speaks to Abraham and his father of the faith, and he told them that the children of Israel, will be enslaved. Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 to 16. This is what he says. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants
will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. That's a pretty heads up, isn't it? Just know this, for 400 years, your descendants, your offsprings, are going to be taken captive as slaves. 400 years. He says in verse 14, but I will punish the nation that they serve as slaves, and afterward, aren't you thankful for afterward, they will come out with great possessions. See, some of y'all are just struggling with the trial you in. But if you'd stop complaining about it and ask God what the purpose for it is, you get on the other side of it and you'll see there's better on the other side. Come on. He says, listen, verse 15, you, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you a good rest. You're going to sleep in my presence. You know, you're just going to relax and you're going to be in my bosom, okay? You're going to be all right, Abraham? In the fourth generation, your descendants, verse 16, will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. God says, listen, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. They're going to be abused. The reality is this. Israelites were already in Egypt. You know, geographics is not one of my great fortes. I have to work hard at this, okay? I'm geographically challenged in many ways. So I have to work really hard sometime to make sure I understand what is being said here. Israelites were already in Egypt. They were actually living in the land of Canaan. But remember, a seven-year famine hit. But remember, Joseph, he's a descendant of who? Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He's a descendant. And because of a dream he had had, Joseph made preparation for hard times. You remember the story. He began to go stockpiling grain. And Pharaoh comes on the scene here. He's in good shape to be the hero and to feed everybody in the land. Israelites have to eat too, y'all. And the food is spreading wide. And Joseph has set him up for success. And in the span of just a few years, Pharaoh seems to have become more powerful than before the famine because of Joseph's leadership. Joseph set up leadership that the next Pharaoh would end up walking into. And Joseph had done something. He had centralized the power of Egypt. And so when a new Pharaoh, listen to this now, when a new Pharaoh comes on the scene, guess what? Joseph has set it up because he centralized the power. God had favor on Joseph's life. He took him from the prison to the palace. And so Joseph had basically set everything up in a centralized power that when the Pharaoh comes, the next king comes, he can basically do whatever he wants. And look at what happens here in Exodus chapter number 1, verses 6 to 14. Just look at the narrative. Now Joseph and all of his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They're blessed. They multiplied greatly. They increased in their numbers, and they became so numerous that the land was filled with Israelites. Verse 8, then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Verse 9, look, he said to his people, look at this, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. This guy's thinking power now. He's thinking their ability. He says, they're far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war should break out, they will join our enemies, and they will fight against us, and they will leave our country. So, verse 11, so they put slave masters over them and begin to oppress them and move them into forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. In verse 13, and they worked them ruthlessly. Talk about slavery in the Bible, y'all. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor. Look at what he do. In brick, remember that, in brick and mortar. You know, you're talking about the Middle East. You're talking about the Bible lands. I told people at the funeral yesterday. I did a funeral yesterday for my aunt. That if you, how many of y'all have ever been to Jockey's Ridge, Nag's Head? Have you ever seen Jockey's Ridge? It's changed so much over the years. It's almost nothing now. But man, when I was a kid, Jockey's Ridge was a high, high mountain of sand. If you go to Israel, it's Jockey's Ridge times 1,000, okay? Everywhere you look in that Judean wilderness, everywhere you look in Israel, you just look and it's like, man, this nothing but dusty hills, just mountains of sand. And so here we are with this vast array of just sandy area. And so what happens is they can take that sand and mix a little water with it and form it, let the sun just kind of dry it out a little bit. And in no time, what do you have? Bricks. So this past week when I was in Pakistan, the first thing I was looking at is like, okay, they got thousands and thousands of bricks out here. Where's the trucks that's hauling the sand in? They had to go nowhere for sand. They just scrape it up right around you and put a little water in there and stick it into the, you'll see it later in the service, stick it into the mold, turn it over, and you got a brick. Let the sun bake it and then throw it over there in the kiln. All around them is the supplies. And so it's just a sandy place. Nothing but sand. All kinds of sand, different kinds of sand, different colors of sand. It's all kinds of stuff. And so the verse 14 says, they made their lives bitter with harsh labor making bricks. They not only feared the development and the expansion of the Israelites, they feared that so much. They ordered, listen, they were concerned about these guys that are expanding. They're having more babies. They're bringing more Israelites into the world. So what we got to do is, listen, ladies, when you help with the birthing process, when you find out you got a boy that's come out there, do away with it. Toss them in the Nile River. Okay? Just get rid of them. But how many of you know, listen, the devil can have a plan for your life, but if God's got his hand on your life and you have a divine purpose for which God has created you, you can have all the plans and all the processes in the making. God is going to take care of you and he's going to bring your life to fruition. Okay? So God has his hand on this little guy. This little guy that was born and in the providence of God as he was born, after 3 months, his mother, she couldn't hide him any longer. You know, when they're young like that, they they want something to drink, man. Come on. You got to feed this baby. And so all the others have been tossed aside, tossed into the Nile. But Moses has survived here. And she hid him in the bulrushes. You know the story from Sunday school. Put him in a basket. And God spared the life of this Hebrew-born boy and who was captured and cared for by who? Pharaoh's daughter. God raised him up for one purpose, for freedom of the Israelites. And this man named Moses would lead the children of Israel out of slavery and out of bondage. Thank God for Moses. Moses is a tremendous leader of God. Slavery in the Bible. Secondly, slavery in America. Slavery in America first began, I want you to listen closely to me, because you and I are experiencing some of the rudiments of slavery in our daily life today, here in this country. And before you just say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. That was a long time ago. It might have been a long time ago, but it's like when you throw a rock in the pond, there's rippling effects. And there's rippling effects that still take place today because of slavery in America. Slavery in America began when the first enslaved Africans arrived about 2 hours from here in Jamestown Colony, Williamsburg, Virginia, in that area. 1619 was the year. I'll never forget when I was a student in high school in the 70s. I got in a major fight. Pastor Joy was in my U.S. history class, and I was falling in love with her, and I wanted to impress her. I was a senior, and she was a freshman. And you say, well, why were you in a class with her? You're a senior and she was a freshman. Because I didn't want to take history. So I saved it for last. And I'd say stuff like, hey, girl, can I borrow your pencil? Is that true? I didn't ascribe a name to her. But I was really liking her, but I didn't know how to have a relationship with people. So the series Roots, Alex Haley, how many of y'all remember that? Was playing on television. And there was a black guy in my class named Andrew. I know him today. We keep up with each other. Andrew and I were not friends. In fact, I was white. You didn't have black friends. He was black. You didn't have white friends. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So Andrew had done something to just pester me. And it was wrong, but this is what I said. I said, you know what, man? You need to be one of them characters in that Roots program I'm watching on TV at night. White boy, that was a wrong thing to say. That was a wrong thing to say, because Pastor Joy can tell you what happened in that room right after I said that was chaos and confusion. The whole campus shut down because of Andrew and I's conflict, because this white boy said a very racial comment to a black student. He turned that room upside down. We emptied that room of all of its chairs and all of its people, and him and I fought like mad dogs. They finally took three male school teachers to separate us. They got us separated and said, go to the office. They sent one of us at one time, one of us at another. And when they sent me out the door first, I went to the office, and I got about halfway there, and Andrew got loose from that teacher and jumped on me again. Okay? I'm serious. You can't possibly feel what happened because of my comment. Whose fault was it? Mine, okay? But he was just aggravating me, and I just threw a slur. I just threw a comment. Can I just tell you something? Your mouth can get you in a lot of trouble, okay? I just threw the comment. It was not a good comment. And I'd fight somebody today who made that kind of comment. I mean, I defend people, okay? Look, I remember in my own family, one Christmas, somebody used the wrong word. And I just called it to a stop. Pastor Joy can tell you. I just said, hey, hold on. We do not use that word in this family. Okay? You're not going to say that in my house. This ain't your house. I said, it's more my house than it'll ever be yours, honey. You never say that word in this house again. Tension. I'll stand for you. So I switched teams. Okay? Whose team are you on now? A black team? No, I'm on human team. That's what I'm on. I'm not on the black team. I'm on the human team. I'm fighting for the human race, okay? We're a part of the human race. But history in America is really bad. I watched that program called Roots, and I watched it over again several times. Alex Haley actually reconstructed his birth records, tracing his family all the way back through birth records and also through slave rosters. He found his lineage, and he even made his way to a country that I've been to before, Ghana. He found his lineage in Ghana, and he was able to dig deeper for the truth about his family and about their history. And Haley is known for that 1976 novel and television series, Roots, the Saga of an American Family. Slavery in America, North America, South America, from 1501 to 1866, 10.7 million captured men and women and children were put on ships in Africa. Think about that. Just let that settle in. 10.7 million people captured and put on ships. And just in case you don't think about it this way, who do you think sold African slaves into slavery? Their own people. Okay? Their own people. Africans selling Africans. People would do desperate things for money, for gold, for treasures. So they sold their own people into slavery. See, just before you get ready to point the finger and everything's about white, your own people sold you into slavery. Okay? I've run into African Americans and didn't want to hear that, but that's the truth. Okay? They get on a boat, 10.7 million of them get on a boat, ships, and make that transport. Can I just tell you, some of them didn't survive the transport. Some of them died in the process. Of that 10.7 million, 90% of them, the vast majority of them, ended up in the Caribbean and South American nations. 10% of that number ended up in the United States. 10%, a million plus ended up in the United States of America. Slavery is the breeder. Somebody say breeder. Slavery is the breeder to what we experience today in racial hatred, in racial profiling, in extreme prejudice and the like. Racism is not dead in America. It's very much alive. Okay? I can tell you, listen, when your daughter marries an African American, you learn a whole lot. Jeremy has taught me a whole lot. I used to see Jeremy get quiet, you know, and like, man, what's troubling Jeremy? Can you imagine? Jeremy is a very dark African American. And somehow in the genetic processes that we have no control of, my granddaughter has taken on the lighter complexion. My grandson now, who was just born a year or so ago, he is taking on a darker complexion. Somebody say pecan tan, y'all. Come on. He's a precious little brother, okay? He's got beautiful skin, man. He's got beautiful skin. I tell people, man, my family portrait looks like a box of Crayola crayons. He's beautiful. He's so beautiful. But you see, Ava, who was here last Sunday, she pulls on that lighter genetic, and she's lighter complected. Can you imagine? I said, Jeremy, talk to me, man. Are you okay? It was during the challenges of COVID and what have you. He said, Pop, you just don't understand. He said, can you imagine being out on Highway 64? You're pulled by you go through a traffic check, and I am very dark. I'm an African American. I'm black, and I'm sitting in the front seat, and the officer looks in the back seat in a car seat and sees a little white child. I said, Jeremy, I never thought about that. He said, I experienced that. Wondering how the officer is going to respond. Come on. Wondering. He said, I'm just asking for you to be a little objective and understand what it's like for me. I didn't understand that, Rico. I had no idea what it might be for me. I'm riding on the car. I've got my grandchild in the back. Not a big deal. Why? Because you're looking at light and light. But when you're looking at dark and in the back seat is light, the question is, what's she doing back there? Okay? Especially in today's world. It has caused me to be a lot more objective, a lot more respecting of people's feelings. Okay? We are facing things in America today that is because of the terrible breeder that slavery has been. And we are facing the rudiments of that kind of thing. Produced attitudes and perspectives that rob us today. It robs our businesses. It robs our churches. It robs our people of all that God intended for us. Matter of fact, my son-in-law owns a funeral home. It's primarily was, before he took it, was primarily a funeral home that only catered to black people. I talked to Jerry about that. He said, it's not my fault. I said, whose fault is it? He said, it's the church's fault. Hello? I never will forget many, many years ago when Carpenter Shop Church families are using the local funeral service, Garrett's Funeral Homes. I never will forget the first time years ago when a black family contacted Garrett's Funeral Home from this church to use their services. They came to the church here. Garrett Funeral Home was so nervous, man. They come to me, Rico, and they said, Pastor, we got a problem. I said, what? They said, they want to open the casket in the hallway. I said, what's the problem with that? He said, we don't do that. I said, you're going to have to start doing it. He said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, open the casket. And he said, they're going to walk by the casket? I said, yes, welcome to the African-American culture. And it's nothing now to see black families utilize Garrett Sykes Funeral Home. Why? Because of Carpenter Shop International Church. Now, that's why. Come on, praise God. God has used this church to make a shift, somebody say shift, in the community. Okay? And so now all kinds of people use Garrett Funeral Homes. Okay? Thanks be to God that we have a church that loves people and lives and believes the truth that the ground is level at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Everybody's the same. We grow up singing a song, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves us all. I'm so glad I'm a part of a church where everybody loves everybody. I'm thankful for that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female. And you could insert there, neither black nor white. You do no damage to the text. Why? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I love verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, no matter what color you are. You get the promise. Thank God our President Abraham Lincoln issued an executive order on January 1st, 1863. It's called the Emancipation Proclamation. As the nation, the United States of America, approached its third year in civil war, the proclamation declared this, that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states are and henceforward shall be free. All states didn't comply. Some of them held back. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. That's why we celebrate just in a few months ago, Juneteenth. Some people say, we don't need to be celebrating that. Why not? It may not mean to you, anything to you if you're white, but it means a whole lot to a black community. Juneteenth, because that was the day that Texas, that holdout state, was still holding out, holding 250,000 black slaves in the state of Texas. That was the day that they were freed. All of them are free now. And so slavery was finally abolished on December the 6th. Think about it. It was January when Abraham Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation. 12 months later, it took a whole year before slavery is finally abolished on December 6th, 1865, when the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of this country was adopted. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in this United States or any place subject to our jurisdiction. Slavery was abolished. Thank God that he raised up a Moses in the life of Abraham Lincoln. While we don't know much about the faith of Lincoln, this is one noted prayer that he prayed. Father, bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us, O Lord, from violence, discord, and confusion. Save us from pride and arrogance and from every evil way. Defend our liberties. Fashion us, O Lord, into one united people, the multitude that you have brought together of many kindreds and many tongues. That was his prayer. Abraham Lincoln was praying for unity in the United States because he knew what it was. It was a hodgepodge of so many different kinds of people. What are we called? The melting pot. We got every kind of person you can think of. And here's a president in the 1800s praying for unity to exist in this nation. God used Lincoln to abolish slavery in that season, but here's my question. Is there slavery in America today? And the answer is yes. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you haven't, you certainly should spend enough $10 or $20 and go see it. It's a movie called The Sound of Freedom. How many of you have seen the movie? If you haven't seen it, you should. Because it will open your eyes to the modern day slavery that still exists in this country, where children, boys, girls, teenagers are captured off of the streets of our cities, snatched up every day in this nation to be sold into the sex industry. Let me tell you something, man. This is a different day. You know, I grew up in Hertford, North Carolina, a little town in Pequimans County. I remember I got up, I did what I wanted to do. We didn't lock our house. I got on my bike, I told Mom, hey, I'm running into town. Okay, should be careful. I rode my bike all over town. I came home just about dark. Man, that's not today. Not today. It's not just about where are you going and what time will you be back. It's who are you with? How many adults are present? You better keep your eyes on your children, because the devil has his eyes on your kids, and there's nothing more that he would rather do than to snatch your child up and cause your child, your grandchild, your cousin, your niece or nephew to be placed into sexual industry of slave trade. It's happening in this country. Broke my heart at the end of the movie when I watched the movie. United States is on the top of the list. Not the very top, but in that top category of nations that are the most active in slave trade industry today. The United States made the list. Children, our children in this country being sold into the sex industry. It's a terrible thing, but it's modern day slavery. And from this, I hate to tell you, we are not free. Thirdly, how about we looked at slavery in the Bible, we looked at slavery in America. How about slavery in Pakistan? For the last week or so, I've been recovering from my journey there. Been a little more difficult than I anticipated. I'm not a person who sleeps in the daytime. I sleep at night. But for the last week or so, my wife can tell you it's nothing for me to sleep 6, 7, 8 hours in the day. Just recovering, just sitting in the chair and going to sleep and recovering. And while I'm resting physically, as soon as I wake up, my spirit is moved for this nation. I told you that I would week after week, I would walk you through, and today's one of those things I want to share with you. If you remember me saying earlier in my message, I asked myself the question, is there slavery that exists today? And the answer was, most slavery that exists today is in India, China, and where? Pakistan. Take a look at what I learned while I was in the nation of Pakistan.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. So Pastor David is giving us some instruction here on where this brick goes.
It's an unbaked brick. Like when they make the brick like this, then they put into the chimney. It's a big oven, like big oven.
Big oven.
So much heat, so much the fire over there. They make a brick here. Then they transfer that brick in this chimney. They bake that over there. When they bake, then they sell in the outside in market district. Yes. It's an unbaked brick, just mud. It's depending on the family. If a family is a big, he makes 3,000 bricks in one day.
Okay.
And if a family is small, he makes 1,000 bricks in one day.
And so he's the administrator, he handles all of the...
Yes, he's a cashier.
Cashier.
Yes. He manages the accounts here. He here looks like who do work here or not. That's why he's not in the visit.
What does the family get paid for making 3,000 bricks?
1,000
bricks. One rupee.
Pakistan.
1 rupee.
Yes.
Okay.
And he taking a loan. They cut the loan. They borrow something money from the owner. They cut that money and they pay back half money to that family. Not full.
1 rupee per 1 brick.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So they do 1,000 bricks. That's 1,000 rupees.
Yes.
How much is that in American money? What is 1,000?
Like $3.
Not too much. They make $3 for making 1,000 rupees.
Yes.
For a day.
Thank God for City Church in Bloomington, Indiana, who puts water close by so these people can drink. And also, again, the water is used for this family to make their bricks. And friends, this is slavery in modern days, because if they don't produce the bricks, then they're going to be beaten. So talk about this cashier, my friend.
He didn't like us because we are here. We released the families, and you saw his face expression when he saw you here, that you are visiting here.
And he didn't like it because we potentially can buy a family.
Yes, exactly. Because when the family released from here, they didn't have any person to work, but they want the person to work here.
And so the ministry of Consuming Fire Church with Pastor John and Pastor Rachel Javed are coming into this slave quarters.
Yes.
And they are asking how much does this family owe,
yes,
paying the bill,
yes,
and then helping them to transition out of here,
yes,
to a new place.
Yes, exactly. And after this, we give them a source for the income that they didn't work here.
That help them get started in a small business.
Small business like that.
All right, so explain to our people in America, what could a small business for a new family?
Like so many, we give them our rickshaws, the grocery stores, the vegetable, pork.
Vegetable stand.
Yes, stands. It's a small business, like, not a big.
Right, like it might be bananas on.
Yes, maybe. Like just our strawberries, like only just strawberries. That's like this. How you understand this?
I need to clarify that because our people don't, when they hear grocery store.
Big grocery store, just a big small, right. Like a small shop, little right. Store. Yes.
So the entire family. What's this family's name?
Abhi yahan par pura khandan maujood hai. Javed ji, Michael, Hamida bibi, and their children.
Beautiful. Hello. Beautiful. This is mom right here. You have beautiful children. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm speaking to you, Carpenter Shop, under the leadership of Pastor Wallace Phillips and Pastor Joy. This family has been set free from slavery through our city church in Bloomington, Indiana. I want to give you an invitation. I want to challenge you. You too can help set a family free from this awful curse and scourge of modern day slavery. You can do it, and I believe you will do it. God bless you.
So the beautiful thing is, we're leaving this village now. The beautiful thing is that every day of their life, because of what City Church has done for them, they can look back across the fields where they live now and see where God brought them from. And in the distance is the brick kiln, the place of slavery that they were free from.
I had the privilege of standing with about four families that have quite a history, many years serving as slaves. And you have to understand, it's not just the father doing the work. The whole family are slaves. All the children, they're making bricks. The fathers are making bricks. These are four families that I had a privilege of working with. And what I've discovered, Pastor John Javed and Rachel, who ministered for us here at Carpenter Shop about 3 months ago, he's got divine favor with the government. I hate to tell you, but the government has stamped their approval on what these people are doing, these wealthy aristocrats that own the brick companies. And a family who maybe has a mother or a father who's facing serious health issues goes to the owner of the brick company and says, you know, I have to have heart surgery or I have to have a major surgery. Can we borrow the money? And they borrow the money, and the only way that they can pay the money back is by working in his brick factory. And he only get half credit because half of the credit for making bricks, which is $3 a day, they make $3 a day. And some of you may be shocked about that, but the average wages of a Pakistani family is about $20 a day. Even the people that stayed at the hotels where I stayed at the Sheraton in the city of Lahore, they make 20, 25,000 rupees a month, which equivalent hashes out to about, $25 to $30 a month they make. Minimum wages in this nation are pitifully poor. And so this family making $3 a day, only half of that is credited to the money that they owe because they provide a makeshift place for them to stay. So the other half of it takes care of their room and then one meal a day for the family. They get one meal a day. We fed hundreds of people while we were there, fed them a nice meal of chicken biryani, rice, chicken, vegetables. And so I asked Pastor John, I said, how are you doing this? And he showed me documents where God has given him favor with the government to go into the brick kiln community and find out what is the debt of, like, Javed's family over here to the far left. What is the debt? what is it that this family owes? And they would tell him how much they owe. And if you can pay the debt for that family, then you can do like Pastor Kim and City Church did in Bloomington. They've already purchased two families out of slavery. You have to prove to the people, also the government, that you have a place for them to live once you set them free from slavery. You have a place that you provided for them to live. You providing a job for them. They may work a banana cart or a strawberry cart. They may sell potatoes or peanuts. They're just one item. You know, when you look at stores in this nation, you're not talking about a vast array of things. You're talking about just maybe an item or so that they sell. And so if you buy this family out of slavery, you become their freedom. It was such a joy to see that family when we showed up there. Pastor Kim, I didn't show you this footage, but Pastor Kim asked this family that he paid for a year ago to set them free. He said, so what's it like for you? What's the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that you've experienced since you've been free and your family is no longer a slave family? And he started crying. He said, one of the greatest things is to meet you and to say thank you for what you did for my family. You set us free. And he was so thrilled to be able to meet Pastor Kim. And, you know, it's been asked of me, hey, is this, you know that this is a legitimate situation. I've seen the documentation. I've been explained the process. Pastor John Javed, I've known for years. And he is working hard to bring the Pakistanis that are enslaved today out of that slavery. And several families that were in the church that I preached at, his church, were families that other churches across the United States of America have paid their freedom, and today they can go to church on Sunday and worship and work their own job of choice and not be suffering in slavery in that awful slave quarters in Pakistan. This family to your far left, Javed and Hamida, their debt is $1,820. They've been in the slavery compound for 19 years. Their debt is traced back to a heart problem that he had and went to the brick owner and asked, could he borrow the money so he could have the surgery? Munir and Karama is the next family, the second one. They've been in this, they're an older couple. They've been in slaves for 38 years. You'll never get ahead, there's no way. It's kind of like borrowing money from a 28, 29% country here in America. You'll never pay the debt off. Some of you, maybe some of you even sitting here, you, as long as you make that minimum payment, and if you ever noticed, if you just make the minimum payment, sometime next month your balance is even higher. You're not going to get there. You'll never get there. Only way you can do it is pay it off. And so this particular family, Munir and Karama, $1,520. Kala and Zabita, another precious family, their debt, $1,703. And Raez and Mumta, the last one on the far right, $1,829. These are the only four families that I found in the area that we went in. I'm sure there are many, many more. But these are the only four families that I asked. I said, can you show me some of these people? And can you allow me just to come back to America and try to see if I can do what I can to help these families leave slavery and come to freedom? So I'm going to give you an opportunity today. Some of you, I say, we already given our tithe and our offering today. Some of you have access. You've got money in savings. You've got some money set aside for maybe you were going to build a room on your house or something. You've got something you can appeal to. So I'm just going to ask you today to ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you to do. The joy of this is that I would have the opportunity to one day go back and see Javed and Humita again. But see them free. Where they're putting most of them, as I showed you, is on the outside of that slave quarters. All that green you saw was a rice field. All that green you saw was a rice field. And the beautiful thing is now the families that have been set free can look across the field and they can see the smoke and they remember the hard work that they did. But today they're free and they're no longer slaves. So I'm asking you today just to give a gift. And the money that you give today will go toward the balance to help these families get out of slavery. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you today, Lord, to break our hearts for what breaks yours. Lord, we thank you today that as we assemble, Lord, you more than anyone knows, because it's the, you're the one who gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You gave the sacrifice for our freedom. And we are free today because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, the ancestors of many that are sitting in this room probably served in that category that I spoke about this morning, slavery in America. Maybe ancestors traced back to this room. But God, today we're free. We thank God for a president who declared slavery in America is abolished. But Lord, you have caused us today to be made aware that there's still slavery in this country, the awful sex trade that's taking place. God, would you help us to have a heart and a compassion to be able to support ministries who deal with such matters. And God, would you touch our hearts today to be able to reach the families that are on this screen right now and give them a second chance at life through Consuming Fire Global Church. Thank you for Pastor John. Thank you for Pastor Rachel, God, that have given their lives to raise up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2%, Lord, in the entire country are Christians. 98% are Muslims. But God, you've put them like a city on a hill, like a light in the midst of darkness. And would you help us today to unite our hearts with them and help them set these families free. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. As the worship team sings, would you come? And, well, there's a bucket here, one or two. Zach, would you spread these buckets out for me? Would you give an offering today to help free these families for a gift from Carpenter Shop to Pakistan and help get these families out of the awful modern slavery of brickmaking?
I believe.
this room this morning, I wonder what your needs are. Amen. I wonder if there's something that you feel like is holding you captive. Maybe there's a sickness you're going through. Maybe there's a hardship. Maybe a family difficulty that for you, it seems like you're enslaved by that. For you, it seems like you'll never get free from something that has plagued you or your family or your relationship for years. Can I just tell you, we don't want to miss an opportunity today to pray for you. I thank you for your giving. I thank you that I believe that every family on this screen today will be taken care of by you. I believe that. I believe that it'll happen. I believe we'll have that report that every family on that screen is going to get good news this coming week that your slavery days are over. Come on. Amen. Your slavery days are over. And I believe that this is yet a first opportunity for us to do things across the world that maybe we never even thought of before. God will bless. God will bless. He'll bless this church. He'll bless you. And most importantly, He'll bless those who are the recipients on the other end. If you have a need this morning, please come. We'll have someone to pray with you. If you need Jesus as your Savior today, maybe you're standing here, you know what, you haven't gotten things worked out in your own spiritual life. Listen, come. Let us pray with you. Let us believe God with you that your better days are your days that are ahead. Come on, step out of your seat and come. We'll have somebody to pray with you this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on, guys, sing it.
You hold my word.
Nothing is impossible.
us and took a stand against slavery, Lord. And I thank you for those today who are taking a stand against slavery, who are able to give to take these families out of slavery all around the country, but more importantly in Pakistan. And Lord, I just ask you to be with each and every person as we go through this week in prayer, Father God, praying for those who are captive to slaves, Father. Lord, whether it be sex trafficking here in the United States or around the world, Lord, I ask that you cover us with your blood and guide us through this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.